Tamasi Ma Jyotirgama.
Coming into the light here, out of the darkness.
So today we're reading from the Upadeshamrita, which I have explained previously.
It's all right.
Was written by Srila Prabhupada, well, written by Srila Rupa Goswami, but it was translated by Srila Prabhupada, and it is meant for all devotees, but it is especially relevant to neophyte devotees, which means it's a good book for all of us to read again and again. It's a very small book, so it is one of those books that you can read in a few days, or I'm sure you're all speed readers. So this is text number 3. Utsahan Nischayad Dairyat. Utsahan Nischayad Dairyat. Tat tat karma pravartanat. Sangha tyagat. Sato vritehe. Sangha tyagat sato vritehe. Shadbir bhakti prasidyati. Utsahan nischayat dharyat tatat karma pravartanat sangatyagat sato vrite shadbir bhakti prasidyati. Translation. There are 6 principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. 1, being enthusiastic. 2, endeavoring with confidence. 3, being patient. 4, acting according to regulative principles, such as Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. 5, abandoning the association of non-devotees. And 6, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These 6 principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service. So yesterday we read about 6 principles that are unfavorable for devotional service. Sadbir bhakti vinashyati. Who remembers what those 6 principles are? 1. Give me 1. Okay. Atyahara. Huh? Prayasa. What does that mean? Collecting more than... Are you doing that? Okay. Prajalpa, yes, prajalpa. What does prajalpa mean? I'm sorry? Talking about mundane things. What are mundane things? What qualifies something as being mundane? I was looking in that direction, Baba. Ladies? Talking about cars? Huh? Like Ferraris and XKE Jaguars and
Ladies don't like to talk about cars. What do you like to talk about? Dresses, fashion. It means talking about anything that's not connected with devotional service, somehow connected with Krishna. Life is very short. In fact, who knows? You could be driving down the highway and you could fall asleep and your van could go crashing into the ditch. I think that happened to our Sankirtan devotees today, right? Was it today or yesterday? Today. Our Sankirtan devotees were all fired up. They got out there right after Mangalarti, started driving down the road. They were going to save the world. And the driver had not had enough sleep, so he decided to sleep at the wheel. That's fine. He got his extra sleep, but the car got totally smashed. It's ruined. We're very, very lucky that we did not lose any bhaktas. I may say that this is a symptom of Maya. We talked about that yesterday, actually. Over-endeavoring for something that's very difficult to achieve. Okay. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo. Prajalpo not only means talking about unnecessary things. Life is so short, you should talk only about Krishna. But it means also, Prabhupada writes in the purport, that wasting one's time playing golf. Prabhupada, really, he used to go for his morning walk in Los Angeles, and he would see people playing golf. And in India, at least for now, they're starting to play golf. But in Prabhupada's time, nobody ever played golf. Of course, they played cricket and other British things. But he was amazed by how people could spend their time hitting a little ball around a big field into a hole. And this is in the category of prajalpa. Anything that wastes your time, this material world is very, very dangerous. Padam padam yadvipadam na te sham. And we don't know when we have to exit. So, there are ways to develop social activities, recreational activities that are connected with Krishna. In fact, the word recreation, have you heard that word, recreation? No? Okay. So the actual meaning of it is re-creation. Your recreation should be a form of recreating your enthusiasm for life. So your recreation, if it's connected with Krishna, it will be actual recreation. Pajalpo niyamagraha, following the rules and regulations or not following them. Janasangascha lolyam cha sadbir bhaktir vinasyati. These things, again, janasanga, keeping the association of materialistic persons, and lolyam, being greedy for material achievements, over-endeavoring for mundane things. Sometimes what we do as devotees can fall into that category, and we talked about that the other day. Even devotees should know when, you know, if we have a project, but it's just too much for us to do. In other words, we want someone's ambitious. We've got a temple president who's really ambitious. So he wants to build, you know, a temple and have three farms and you know, four Gurukulas, and he wants it all in 6 months, you know. And maybe we could do it if everybody stopped chanting their rounds and worked day and night. And that might seem, oh, well, you know, we'll be the envy of all the temples in the world or something. But no, that's over endeavor. There's no need for that. Our main business is to chant Hare Krishna and get free from this material world, to go back to home, back to Godhead. We are doing so many things to save the world, but that should be within the realm of reasonability. We are not saving the world. Sometimes we like to think that. Sometimes a big preacher or a big book distributor or whatever, big lecturer, you know, likes to think that he's doing something. But it's all done by Krishna's arrangement. We're just his instruments. And we shouldn't over-endeavor. Now we're going to talk about things that are positive. Those were negative activities. Here's the positive side. Utsa. Enthusiasm. One should be enthusiastic in devotional service. Now, there's a lot of... Some people are born with a lot of enthusiasm carried over. You know, they're enthusiastic about whatever they do. It's carried over from their last birth. They were enthusiastic about material life, and now they're enthusiastic about Krishna consciousness. They're just positive energy people. And that's, you know, some people are born with everything. And that means like about 0.001% of the people. If you don't find yourself in that category, don't worry. There are ways to become enthusiastic by using your intelligence. Now the first thing, the first most obvious way to become enthusiastic is to associate with enthusiastic people. Enthusiasm, or rather association, is such a thing. And there are ways to associate also. It's not just you know, situate yourself within 3 meters of the person or act as his shadow or something like that. That's not necessarily being associating with that person. We associate with people by rendering some service or by inquiring submissively or by following in the footsteps. So we should associate always with enthusiastic devotees and avoid devotees who are always pessimistic, negative, apathetic. You know, apathy. They're just, you know, they don't care. They don't care this way or that way. You know, they're just, they have no enthusiasm. And the other way, sometimes they do what they're told, and they're going on their own speed towards Krishna, and I'm sure they'll all be successful because they're all wonderful people. All devotees are wonderful people. We should never think badly about any devotee. It's not beneficial for you, first of all. You should always think in a positive way, even about devotees who may be fallen. Because Krishna says, Apichet sudracharo mam, bhajate mam ananyabhak, sadureva samantavya samyagvya vasito hisaha. If they're somehow or other engaged in devotional service, even if they're
sudurachar. Achar means behavior, durachar means bad behavior, and sudurachar means they have quite bad behavior. But even if they have quite bad behavior, we can respect them from a distance. Dikshasti chet pranati bis chablajantam isham. Another verse in this Upadeshamrita tells us how to respect people within the mind while staying away from them. So we should never think badly about any devotee. Anyone who has chanted Hare Krishna, anyone who is chanting Hare Krishna, and even someone who is potentially going to chant Hare Krishna, we should be positive. So, enthusiasm means to keep positive thoughts in your mind by associating with positive devotees, enthusiastic devotees. In the process of devotional service, we may run into different situations, and there's different kinds of devotees. There's a Kanishta Adhikari, a Madhyama Adhikari, and an Uttama Adhikari. An advanced Kanishta Adhikari sounds like an oxymoron, but it's not. There's such a thing as an Uttam Kanishta. In other words, a very advanced neophyte. Coming to the platform of Madhyam is quite an advanced stage. It's not a casual thing. A Madhyama Adhikari is someone who has firm faith in Krishna and is always engaged in serving Krishna somehow or other, even though his faith is determined, but he may not have the complete ability. Samitpani Shotriyam Brahmanishtam. He may not be fully versed in all the scriptures. He may not be able to defend his faith fully. So, in order for us to make progress, we have to cultivate our spiritual activities. And that means we have to be active. It means we have to do something. I always remember my good friend, Vishal Das. I mean, it's just one example. I'm sure there are many other examples, but this was such a funny example. He's actually a very advanced devotee, Vishal. He joined in 1968, and he was always doing a lot of book distribution. He got himself declared as crazy by the government. So he got what they call SSI. Basically, the devotees call it crazy money. You know, it's welfare for crazy people. So he would use that money. He didn't really need it, but he was getting that welfare. So he would go out and distribute books, and if somebody defeated him, then he would spend money and give away free books. So he would always come in first. He was a big competitor. He liked to be first. That's all right. He's a good talker. Great talker. He's a well-built devotee. He likes halava a lot. But anyway, he used to love to glorify Prabhupada, almost to the point where you were embarrassed to be around him. Not glorify Prabhupada away from Prabhupada, but in Prabhupada's association. He would, go on glorifying Prabhupada, that you are Krishna's mercy, Srila Prabhupada, you are this, you are that. And Prabhupada used to ignore him.
And one day, Prabhupada was walking into the Vrindavan temple, and Vishal was following behind him. Oh, Prabhupada, you are so great. And, you know, there were devotees everywhere. And Vishal was just, it's nice. I'm sure he was enjoying this. If you have to glorify someone, you might as well glorify Krishna's pure devotee, because he's worthy of glorification. But Vishal would say, you know, Prabhupada, you are so great. Prabhupada, you are most merciful. You're most merciful, Prabhupada. And he was going on like that, and Prabhupada stopped, and he turned around, and he said, Vishal, do something practical. So, we have to act. We should do some practical devotional service, and that actually means enthusiasm. And there are 9 Navalakshana, 9 kinds of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Archanam, Bandham, Bandhanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam, Padasevanam. I think I got them all in. Offering prayers, worshiping the lotus feet, remembering, like that. There's a nice, Prabhupada says something nice here, and says so many things nice in the purport, but he hasn't started to talk about enthusiasm yet, but he's talking about just try to learn the truth. He quotes 434 from the Bhagavad Gita. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. And then he quotes from the Mundaka Upanishad, Tad vijnanartham sa gurum eva vigacchat. To understand that transcendental science, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master. This method of submissively receiving transcendental confidential knowledge is not merely based on mental speculation. And Prabhupada spends a good part of the purport here talking about devotional service not being imaginary. It's not mental speculation. It is a science. The science of bhakti yoga. And that is another way that we can develop enthusiasm, and that is by understanding the philosophy. And we should be enlivened, because actually you'll find who are the most enthusiastic devotees? Who knows? Who are the most enthusiastic devotees, usually, in any temple? Well, Sankirtan devotees, yeah, but even amongst the Sankirtan devotees. Huh? Those who read, that's true. I was thinking more of the new bhaktas. You know, anybody who comes their first 6 months, they're just so filled with ecstasy because they've never tasted anything like devotional service. For so long they've been suffering in the material world. And probably there are 4 chaturarthati, chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna. There are 4 kinds of people who come to devotional service, and the greatest number of them are those who are in distress. There are some who are in search of money, some who are curious, and the very small few who can actually claim they're searching after the absolute truth, in search of knowledge. But the greatest number of us came because we were fried to the max, as they say. We were burned out on material life. So when you get some relief, you just feel very ecstatic, very enthusiastic. So one way to renew your enthusiasm, you may not have a lot of positive realization about the absolute world,
Oh, sure, you can read Govinda Lilamrita and Gopi Gita and try to, you know, get enthusiastic in that way. You know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta approached Bhakti Vinod Thakur and said he wanted to print Govinda Lilamrita, which is a book about the gopis' pastimes, with very intimate. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, I'll tell you a little later, tell you sometime later. So Bhakti Siddhanta waited for quite some time, maybe about a year later. Then he asked Bhakti Vinod again. So Bhakti Vinod said, yes, you can print one copy, and then you can read it, and then you'll be happy that I printed the book. But he didn't want him distributed, because it's not, we're not meant for that. Prabhupada did not want us reading the works of what is that book by Jayadev Goswami on Radha and Krishna kissing and embracing and you haven't read it yet? Oh, okay. I don't remember. Anyway, it's Prabhupada told us, you know, devotees obviously asked about it. He said it's not for us. But one thing you do have realization about is what it was like before you joined ISKCON. What was there in your life? What tempted you? What urged you? What pushed you to make the drastic step of dedicating your life to a cult, a dangerous cult, you know? What pushed you over the edge? You were in the miserable material world. You were getting smashed about like the waves hitting the rocks on the coast. If any of you have ever been to the coast, you know, when the rocks, the water comes smashing in against the rocks, it's quite violent. And if you happen to get caught up in those waves and get smashed against the rocks, you can get all bloody and injured. And so that's what happens to most people in the material world. They just get smashed about by their karma, by adidaivik, adibhautik, adiatmik klesha, and they have nothing to go to. They have no other hope, so they just become frustrated. But if you find some relief, if you find something sweet that gives you a little hope and it gives you some ecstasy, then you become very enthusiastic. So one way to maintain your enthusiasm is to remember that. Go over it again. Just devotees often do that together. How did you come to Krishna consciousness? And one devotee will explain to another. And then, really? Yeah, I had experiences like that. And they'll explain back and forth. Another way is to analyze. Of course, we talked about reading Prabhupada's books, and that is a fact, that just reading these books is a special kind of medicine that, as Srila Prabhupada said, and we can believe it, he did not write those books. They were his ecstasies, but they were written by Krishna. Prabhupada was just the, but he was the instrument. He was Krishna's instrument as much as, or even more so. Well, as much as you can say Vyasa Deva. Of course, Ganesh understood what he was writing, but he went on writing. Ganesh is not an ordinary personality. Most exalted demigod. So, Srila Prabhupada was Krishna's instrument. He was writing the books, but he was being inspired at every moment by Krishna. So when we read those books, if you sincerely sit down and spend half an hour or an hour, I don't care what mood you're in. You may be apathetic. You may be antagonistic, you may be full of doubt, you may have so many problems, but if you just find a secluded place and read Srila Prabhupada's books, the most amazing thing can happen. One thing that happens that many devotees talk about is that they had some question and they open the book without any care, and all of a sudden a verse comes up which addresses exactly the question that they had. Now that's a little bit of mysticism. Krishna's talking to you. You can see it, that Krishna's in your heart and Krishna is talking to you. That's a nice experience when that happens. But you go on reading and the knowledge itself, the sentences, they fit so nicely together. It's so descriptive, to the point. The explanation is clear. It's like all the fog is immediately cleared away. All the darkness is, you know, immediately. Immediately, all the darkness has gone away when you read Prabhupada's books, and you can remain enthusiastic that way. Here Prabhupada says, endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called utsaha, or enthusiasm. Endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called utsaha, or enthusiasm. The devotees find the correct means by which everything can be utilized in the service of the Lord. Nirbandha Krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagyam uchite anasaktasya vishayan yatarham upayunjataha. Everything in this world belongs to Krishna. It's Krishna's bahiranga shakti, his external energy, and it has a connection with Krishna. So we simply have to utilize everything in his service. That is the perfection. And that's the process of devotional service. It's yukta vairagya, renunciation in knowledge. Devotional service is not idle meditation. It's very practical. It means using your eyes, your ears, your nose, your tongue, your tactile sense. It means working for Krishna. And even to maintain, just to live, just to maintain your body, you have to do something. So here's a way that you can act in perfect harmony with the laws of God. Perfect your life, svesve karmani abhirata. By doing your duty, you can perfect your life by serving Krishna. One should not be impatient in Krishna consciousness. Now, these three words are very interesting. Utsa, nischai, and dairya. Utsa means enthusiasm. So, everybody should be enthusiastic, but at the same time, one has to be determined to overcome obstacles. Not that your utsa only goes so far, your enthusiasm only goes so far until there's some trouble. Now, the temple is going through some difficulties. Now, I remember a few years ago when I was here, there were, you know, 50 devotees in the temple, and there were all kinds of activity. And everybody was very enthusiastic, and now there's been some reorganization. Few people fell into Maya, got married, what to do? No, that's not true. Just joking. And there's a readjustment. Our society is growing. So we're going through growing pains. So if someone loses his enthusiasm, oh, why can't we have the good old days? Well, you can't have the good old days. You just have to be enthusiastic and determined to succeed. And you have to be patient. You have your plan. We all have our plan. For our own life, we have our plan. And we have our plan for together, collectively, to do our preaching work. But we should always remember that Krishna has his plan also. Now, we should endeavor to do something for Krishna. It's not that Prabhupada said to endeavor with intelligence. That is enthusiasm. He didn't say to remain lazy and be intelligent. That isn't, no. He said you endeavor, you do something. But dhairya, one has to be patient. And of course the classic example is of a woman who gets married. Now it's a classic example because it's very true. A woman may, if she gets married, she's probably thinking that she'd like to have a family. And, you know, she may even think that she'd like to have her child quite soon. But there's no way that can happen. You can start the procedure on your wedding night, but you've got to wait at least 9 months, a minimum 9 months. So you have to be patient in devotional service. We make our plans. We have our confidence. Krishna says, Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. My devotee will never be vanquished. Yena mam upayanti te, I give the intelligence to my devotee how he can come to me. So many verses are there. Krishna guides us. Dadami divyam te chakshu, I give you divine eyes. Krishna makes a lot of arrangements for us. But still, our concept of time is, it's very, very relative. We get caught up in our own situation. It's like I've seen people who have, like for example, I do this all the time. I was in Split. So I met a bunch of people there, and everybody I met, I asked them, where have you been? You know, and somebody, I think the person who had been the farthest had been to Dubrovnik. Otherwise, nobody had been outside of Split. Now, what kind of question is that? But it told me something. Their experience of what is life and what is reality and what is culture and who people are is limited to whatever they find in Split. And when you're a little kid, it's limited to your neighborhood and the friends. When you're a little baby, it's limited to your mother's arms. So, you know, you don't expect much maturity from a little child because he hasn't seen the world. He just knows about my daddy and the next door neighbor's daddy, and that's it. You know, like, I don't know. You could, anyway, it's an example that you could develop it, but the point is that our time, our concept of time is relative. And we've got this vague idea that I want to live eternally. I want to be eternal. That sounds good. I want to be eternal. Yeah. Let's go for it. Let's be eternal. But you have no idea what eternal means. You know, if you have to wait for 20 minutes in line for prasadam, you start freaking out, you know. So, you know, what do you know about eternal time? You know, you might think after, you know, in one lifetime people get bored to death. When people start to hit 50 or 60, you know, you see old people, what do? They sit around playing checkers or chess, or, you know, they go to the seashore and they play chess, or they go fishing, you know, sit there fishing all day long. And they don't catch any big fish, just these little tiny things, you know, but they got nothing else to do but sit there all day long, you know, chewing on some grass and, you know. Because time is very relative. So we've got to learn to be patient, because we want to live in God's time. We want to depend upon Him. So there's three things: utsa, nischaya, and dharyat. Enthusiasm is important, but without patience, utsa without dharya is just rajagun. It's just the mode of passion. You'll see someone, he's very enthusiastic, you know, jumps up and down and kirtan, those are very enthusiastic, but you know, if things don't happen, then he loses his enthusiasm, because it was just the mode of passion. And then you've got someone who's patient. He's so patient that, you know, he sleeps all day in the ashram. He's patient, but he has no enthusiasm. So that's the mode of ignorance. So all three of them go together: enthusiasm, determination, and perseverance. And tat-tat karma pravartanat means following the rules and regulations. Prabhupada says something about that here, although we've said something about that quite regularly, but let's see. As already explained, one should not be idle, but should be very enthusiastic about executing the regulative principles. Tat-tat karma pravartana. Neglect of the regulative principles will destroy devotional service. In this Krishna consciousness movement, there are four basic regulative principles forbidding illicit sex, meat-eating, gambling, and intoxication. A devotee must be very enthusiastic about following these principles. If he becomes slack in following any of them, his progress will certainly be checked. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore recommends tat-tat karma pravartana. One must strictly follow the regulative principles of vaidhi bhakti. In addition to these four prohibitions, or yama, there are positive regulative principles, niyama. There's a difference between yama and niyama. Yama is is negative. And niyama means positive. Now, I'll tell you something about following negative principles. And this is something that I've learned both in my own experience as well as from reading. A very nice thing, and it's very simple. Although it appears that we have many don'ts, and as soon as people come to some organization or some religion, if you want to start a successful religion, just say, you know, all you have to do is give me $50 and you can become God in 6 weeks, and there's no rules. You can do whatever you like. And people will... Like Rajneesh, he was very, very popular. Anybody heard of Rajneesh? Huh? Of course. Osho. Okay, Osho. Yeah, you see how popular. Everybody heard of him. Now, his whole thing was, you know, enjoy your senses to the maximum and become God. And so it was very popular. They thought, oh, you know, a PhD in philosophy, long white beard, must be a guru. And he talked in a very kind of Freudian you know, he had this deep Freudian voice, and he was very slow, and you don't have sex. Don't not have sex. But be with sex. That's just mumbo-jumbo. Mumbo-jumbo is an African expression. But that's what people, they like something cheap, something instant, something cheap. And they get what they, you get what you pay for. But here's something that great acharyas for millions of years in every scripture, right from Ramayana, Mahabharata to the Bhagavad Gita, everywhere you find the same principles. If you want to get free from your skin disease, then you have to follow some restrictions. I'm telling you, it's no joke being sick. You have a serious illness, there's a lot of restrictions. But if you have a real desire, a positive desire, if the yes inside you that I want to be Krishna's devotee, I recognize that this is the transcendental path and I want to be successful. I don't want to come back to the material world again. I want to achieve Krishna consciousness. If that yes, yes inside you is very strong, then the no's, know this, know that, they're insignificant. They don't bother you much at all. Because your desire to be Krishna conscious is very strong. So niyam, such as daily chanting of 16 rounds on japa beads, these activities must be faithfully performed with enthusiasm. This is called tat-tat karma pravartanat, or varied engagement in devotional service. And then there's sangha tyagat, the opposite of yesterday, jana, or the day before, the day before, jana sangas cha lolyam cha, giving up the association of jana. Like Mahatma Gandhi, he wanted to make everybody Hari Jana. You've heard that expression, Hari Jan. You've heard Prabhupada talk about that. Well, Jana means a common man, and he wanted to make every common man feel like he was as good as God, a Hari Jana, just by rubber stamping. Prabhupada ridiculed him. So this Jana Sangha, to give up the association of materialistic man, or here we have Sangha Tyagat, to give up the association, or to keep only association with devotees, rather. And it means the same thing, Sangha Tyagat. If you give up the association of non-devotees, then the only other people left are devotees, so you're successful. Sangha Tyaga Sato, the Sata. Sata means devotees of the Lord. Sato Vrite. Sadbir Bhaktir Prasidyati. These six things are very important for the execution of devotional service. Now, I just wanted to finish off here with, I was going to read something that, because sometimes I feel, personally I've always been very, maybe overly enthusiastic about preaching on the basics of Krishna consciousness. You know, sometimes it's almost too much. Why doesn't he talk about some Leela or something? You know, why does he always... regulative principles. Well, I feel it's very important. But on the other hand, I feel kind of embarrassed because, you know, the old gray mare She ain't what she used to be. You know, I'm preaching strongly about various things, but I'm having difficulty myself. And, you know, I could say, well, I've got an excuse. And probably you've all bored to death hearing about it, but, you know, I just... I have a liver problem which makes me very, very weak a lot of times, practically a good part of the day. So I'm not able to follow the program very well. I'm determined that when I get better, I'll be the first one into a cold shower in the morning and the first one at Mangalarti and the last one to bed at night. My guru was like that, Jayananda. He was always a perfect example for me. So I feel a little embarrassed preaching to all of you that you must follow, and then I'm not following very well. But I came across a couple of verses which I thought I'd read for you. And it may be relevant to some of you who do have trouble with your physical bodies from time to time. Life is, you know, it's not long enough to really do anything significant, but it is long enough to go through misery. Enough to fry your brain, but this is, I forget where this is from. It's from the 8th canto, 19th chapter. Satyam pushpa phalam vidyad atma vrikshasya. Vrikshasya means the tree of the body, atma vrikshasya, giyate. Vrikshe jivati tan nasyad anritan mulam atmana. The Vedas enjoin that the factual result of the tree of the body is the good fruits and flowers derived from it. The factual result of the tree of the body is the good fruits and flowers that you get from the tree of the body. It's like a tree. What's the value in the tree? You get some fruit from it. But if the bodily tree does not exist, then there's no possibility of factual fruits and flowers. Even if the body is based on untruth, there cannot be factual fruits and flowers without the help of the bodily tree. So the body is made of material energy. The body is based on our desires for sense gratification. The body is temporary, and we generally try to reduce the needs of the body and even, as we advance, ignore the body, get absorbed in the spirit. But here, the point is being made that if you don't have a healthy body, then you're not going to have the opportunity for obtaining love of Godhead, because the human form of body is meant for that purpose. This sloka explains that in relation to the material body, even the factual truth cannot exist without a touch of untruth. The Mayavadis say, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, the spirit soul is truth, and the external energy is untruth. This is a famous Mayavadi saying, Brahma Satyam. Spirit is truth. Jagan, the universe, is mithya, or false. So they say the whole material world is false, mithya. Only Brahman is real. The Vaishnava philosophers, however, do not agree with the Mayavada philosophy. Actually, this word Mayavada. Vada means path, so Mayavada means the path of those who say everything is Maya. Even if, for the sake of argument, the material world is accepted as untruth, The living entity entangled in the illusory energy cannot come out of it without the help of the body. Without the help of the body, one cannot follow a system of religion, nor can one speculate on philosophical perfection. Therefore, the flower and fruit, pushpa phalam, have to be obtained as a result of the body. Without the help of the body, that fruit cannot be gained. The Vaishnava philosophy therefore recommends yukta vairagya. It is not that all attention should be diverted for the maintenance of the body, but at the same time, one's bodily maintenance should not be neglected. As long as the body exists, one can thoroughly study the Vedic instructions, and thus at the end of life, one can achieve perfection. This is explained in the Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram. Everything is examined at the time of death. Bhajan koro sadhan koro murti janle hoy. Everything is tested at the time of death. Therefore, although the body is temporary and not eternal, one can take from it the best service and make one's life perfect. And then text number 40. When a tree is uprooted, it immediately falls down and begins to dry up. Similarly, if one doesn't take care of the body, which is supposed to be untruth, in other words, if the untruth is uprooted, the body undoubtedly becomes dry. And Prabhupada quotes that verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu about Vairagyam Falgu Katyate. When the body is engaged in the service of the Lord, one should not consider the body material. Sometimes the spiritual body of the spiritual master is misunderstood. But Srila Rupa Goswami instructs, Prapanchikataya Buddhya Hari Sambandhi Vastuna. The body fully engaged in Krishna's service should not be neglected as material. One who does neglect it is false in his renunciation. If the body is not properly maintained, it falls down and dries up like an uprooted tree from which flowers and fruit can no longer be obtained. The Vedas therefore enjoin a big long sloka. The purport is that activities performed with the help of the body for the satisfaction of the absolute truth, Om Tat Sat, are never temporary, although performed by the temporary body. Indeed, such activities are everlasting. Therefore, the body should be properly cared for. Because the body is temporary or not permanent, one cannot expose the body to being devoured by a tiger or killed by an enemy. All precautions should be taken to protect the body. So, it's not that we divert all of our attention to the body, but we should certainly be practical in maintaining our health. Therefore, we should eat good food in the temple, should be cooked nicely, using good ingredients. Krishna will supply. We don't need to worry. It may be simple, but it should be healthy. And if we get a disease, Chanakya Pandit says, disease, fire, and bad debt should be immediately dealt with. So, anyway, I can only imagine what kind of heinous, sinful activities I must have committed in the past that I'm forced to suffer in this condition. But I'm still going to preach strongly about Mangalarti, the regulative principles, and everything else. Okay. Are there any questions? Yes? Following in the footsteps, but not imitating. Well, of course, you have a tongue. And the tongue should be used for asking questions. So if you have some doubt about something that you're doing, and whether it is following in the footsteps or you're verging on imitating, you can ask the devotee or the devotees and get some advice. Now, for example, it is stated, te jiyasam, not doshaya, that great saintly persons are never to be considered sinful. Like, I was just reading about Lord Brahma. I wasn't reading, but Sri Dayananda Maharaj wrote me a letter. We were talking about whether a devotee should desire to go back to Godhead, or whether he should desire to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. There's different things in some of Prabhupada's purports. So, Sri Dayananda mentioned that in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, at the end, there is a discussion how some devotees were critical of Lord Brahma because he became lusty after his daughter at one point. Of course, it was not an ordinary lila. Lord Brahma is not an ordinary person. He creates all women. He's the primary or the secondary creator in the material world. But those devotees who criticized him, they were all condemned. So, another example is Bhishma or Kripacharya. Bhishma was a great devotee. He was certainly a great devotee. But he did a lot of very, what you might say, irreligious things. He fought for the Pandavas. He didn't protect Draupadi in the gambling hall. Many things. Or a better example is Kripacharya. He along with Aswatthama, slaughtered all the Pandavas' sons, all Draupadi's sons. 15-year-old boys, in the middle of the night, they came and slit their throats. But Kripacharya, because he was a great personality, a great brahmana, even after the battle of Kurukshetra, up to the time of Janmejaya, and perhaps farther, he was the military guru of the Kuru dynasty. Even though he fought for Duryodhana, even though he did some very abominable things, but because he was a great personality. So that's one aspect. Following in the footsteps has to be done very carefully. You cannot imitate great personalities. Then there's the other side where you're following in the footsteps of some immediate devotee who's not tejiyasam, but he's a regular devotee. And you want to follow in the footsteps, that you can do. And even there can be a degree of imitation. In fact, imitation is one kind of flattery. They say it's the best form of flattery. There was one devotee who was a disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and he wasn't that brilliant a person in terms of speaking, but he had a good memory. So he would just memorize whole lectures of Bhakti Siddhanta, every word. And then he would go in the village and he would just repeat the whole lecture. So Bhakti Siddhanta heard about his activities, and he laughed, and he said, oh, he's a very nice preacher. So, sometimes imitation. I'll tell you, it was so funny. We were so funny. Because we were so new, and Prabhupada was so different. But we used to imitate him all the time. The way he would talk, the way he would eat, even the way he would wear clothes. Although we were brahmacharis, the early devotees, everybody wore one of these uttariya. Because Prabhupada did it, so we did it. And he didn't tell us not to. And literally, devotees, Prabhupada's English would be, sometimes not very easy to recognizable. His pronunciation was a little different. Devotees would copy that and talk to each other in the same way. So, we were imitating, but it was childlike. It was innocent imitation. And it wasn't harmful. Sometimes when you're following in the footsteps of someone, like on Padyatra or something, and you get a little too close to them and you start stepping on the back of their shoes, and they keep turning around, stop that, sometimes you got to be careful when you're following a little too closely. Don't step on my blue suede shoes, Any other questions? Yes. How to be enthusiastic and always? I don't know. Laugh a lot. How to be enthusiastic always? Well, it's kind of a cultivation. One aspect is that we are by nature passionate. Kali Yuga is an age of passion, and we're certainly contaminated by the mode of passion. So that's energy. Now, for example, a brahmachari who has, or anybody for that matter, who has a lot of excessive passion, he's encouraged to, dovetail that passion by going out and doing a lot of hard work, lifting boxes of books and, distributing books or whatever. Something that will dovetail the energy in Krishna's service. So another way to dovetail that passionate energy is to try to channel it. Actually, intense lust is just a perverted form of Krishna prema. Believe it or not. All passionate people are actually great devotees. But it is a fact that everything is a perverted reflection. So if we have some passion, if we can somehow channel that energy, and it may be, it's a question of experience. Initially, it may be a question of your determination. You think about it, you think, this passion is always agitating me. I'm always getting in trouble because of my passionate nature. My mind is disturbed because of my passionate nature. This is not healthy. I don't like this. So thinking like that, you think, let me at least try to dance a lot during kirtan. Let me just try to set up my daily schedule so that I have a lot of devotional service and I have no time for sleeping. Now, that'll help to absorb your passion, but while dancing in kirtan, you'll actually feel some magic. You'll get strength and you'll feel like dancing more. The classic example was, well, Prabhupada was always encouraging devotees to dance. You'd always see him like this going, he'd be sitting on his vyasasana like this. Devotees would be, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Come on, dance, dance. And they'd start dancing. And then they would get a little wild and he'd slow down, slow down. But if you do dance, then you'll feel enthusiastic. If you do accomplish, you know, a number of things in your day, get your day organized and use your passion for serving Krishna, you'll find that you feel very good about it. Sometimes a little exercise, taking care of your health, can increase your enthusiasm. Eating the right diet and getting exercise. I find this is a big problem with devotees. How many of you every day get some form of exercise for at least half an hour to an hour a day? How many get some kind of exercise? Brilliant. One person. That's not good. You should go for a good, you have a beautiful park here. You can go for a nice japa walk. Put on your best sari or your best dhoti. Take off your baseball cap. Let your no hair flash in the sunlight. And go for a japa walk. Work up a little sweat. You'll come back feeling doubly enthusiastic. Not only psychologically, but even physiologically, exercise releases endomorphins in your brain. You know, endomorphins? Everybody's heard of endomorphins, right? You have, huh? Wow. I thought I was joking. Endomorphins, they are like a drug for your brain. They give a sense of well-being and enthusiasm. So that, those little things can help, but I think above all, as I said earlier, is find the most enthusiastic person in the temple and associate with them. Or if enthusiastic people come to the temple, then, you know, get their association. Because that enthusiasm is contagious. It's one of the most contagious diseases on the planet, you know. And, yeah? So, I don't know. I just, my personal feeling is that we have the best philosophy. And, you know, I'm ready to eat my words if someone can give me something better. Seriously. Go to the local university, find a professor, you know, I'll pay him. You know, usually professors will do anything for money. I know, because my brother is one. So, you know, we can discuss philosophy, but I don't think he can compete with Srila Prabhupada's books and Srila Prabhupada's philosophy. We have the best culture. It's the most colorful. It is totally integrated with life's goal. It's not just, you know, some meaningless, like, You know, you go to America and they have a folk ballad concert of ancient folk dances that early Americans used to do, and it has nothing to do with anything. It's just, you know, just something some people did 200 years ago, and you know, they put on their costumes from 200 years ago, and everybody, you know, eats hot dogs and beer and watches these people dance as if they were 200 years old, you know. It has no connection with anything. It's just another variety of sense gratification. Here we've got very beautiful, and when I talk about beautiful, I mean something that is designed to enliven you, inspire you, like the Sama Veda. The music in the Sama Veda is, not only is it sweet, but it's scientific. It's transcendentally scientific to touch every part of your body and enliven you. You know, like heavy metal. You know, where did that come from? Sorry for saying if I offend anyone, but rock and roll is much better. I mean, heavy metal came out afterwards. But anyway, we have the best culture, the best philosophy, we have the best food. I mean, most devotees, when they go to India and stay there for a little while, a lot of devotees come and they're kind of skinny, you know, and they come to India and they start eating at life members' homes. You know, within a short period of time, they end up just like me, you know. Big belly and big face. Because the food is so good. You know, it's just, you can't, and they want to feed you. The interesting thing is you go to an Indian's house, and this is their culture, that they'll give you some prasad on your plate, and you're taking, and they'll come to feed you. And, okay, I'll have a little more of that, a little more of that. Okay. Yeah. Then they come a second time. Well, not really hungry, but if you insist, okay, well, one of those, just one of those, that's all. And then they'll come a third time. No, 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 no. Yes, 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 no, please take. No, 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 no. No, no, come on, please, 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 here, take some. Huh? Isn't that true, Mukunda? They do that? Now, it's not that they're trying to be nasty, but they don't want to offer you something in a casual way. Their culture is that they want you to know that they'd really like to serve you. And the only way you can stop them is to turn your whole plate over. Turn all your katoris over. They can't offer you any more prasadam. Because they like to do it. They're happy to see you take prasadam. The spiritual master is happy when he sees that the devotees are taking Bhagavat prasadam. I've met so many wonderful people. Of course, nowadays India's changed a lot, but the people I would associate with they were along the lines of Srila Prabhupada from his generation, very aristocratic people. People whose word was their life. They said something if they gave their word. That was it. They were along the lines of, not as good as, but along the lines of Dharmaraj, Maharaj Yudhisthira. They were trained like that. So you have the best culture, the best food, the best philosophy, the best program for going back to Godhead, the best experience, chanting and dancing and philosophizing. Well, it's not just dry philosophizing. There's an experience. You chant and you feel ecstasy. And as you advance, you feel more and more ecstasy. So these things alone should give you a lot of enthusiasm. You're on the right path, finally. After millions of years, Brahmanda Brahmite kona bhagyavan. Now you're bhagyavan. Now you're lucky. You're really lucky because of all the people in the universe, and I'm not just talking this planet, there are demigods who are waiting in line, you know, the queue system, to come to this planet and take part in Lord Chaitanya's Leela. And somehow we've gotten the good fortune. We can practically recognize it by analyzing what we have, and we should be enthusiastic. Why not? It's so great. It's when, you know, every time I think about it, it's just inconceivable. Inconceivable good fortune. Just that we're sitting here on a Monday night after a Sunday night. And we're talking about these things. This is beautiful. Every one of you, I'm 100% sure that you're going back to the spiritual world very, very soon. You're all very special people. And, you know, it's a very short time. Even if it takes another lifetime, even if you don't happen to make it this lifetime, although you can if you want to, but even if you don't, you're going back to Krishna, you're going to be with Krishna, you're going to enjoy with Krishna, dance with Krishna. No more death or old age or disease. This is wonderful. Why not be enthusiastic? Right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Upadesha Amrita Ki Jai.